Coming to the end of the time that we're going to spend together in the book of Proverbs. This is the last message there. But I hope it's not an end to your engagement with that book. There's so much that the Lord has for us still to learn there. A good practice as you go forward from here is to read whatever proverb it is that corresponds to the day of the month, and to read that chapter. So like for today being the 24th, it would be a good practice to read Proverbs 24. If you get that into a habit of life, the Lord will bring to you remembrance of so many good things that he has there. We have engaged with Proverbs in the hope that the Lord might show us how we should see things the way they ought to be seen, and we can learn to do things as they ought to be done. And this is a good definition of wisdom. I also want to give you a heads up on where we're going after this. You know that this 4th of July is the 250th birthday of the United States as an official entity. I thought it would be helpful for us if we could go back and visit some of the truths that were shared by great men of the pulpits leading up to 1776. And so I'm going to bring to your awareness a series of sermons preached by other people. And I struggle a little bit with this because I want to make sure you know that the things I say from here are things I believe are biblical and things that I'm in agreement with. But there are some marvelous sermons that shaped the development of our country. And I believe it would be handy and useful for us to understand some of those truths. We'll get into that more as that unfolds through the 4th of July. So I'm going to offer that, and I hope that it's helpful to you. But for today, we want to conclude our time spent in Proverbs and use Proverbs 12:28 as our thesis verse for the day and for movement into other parts of the scriptures. Proverbs 12:28 says simply this: in the path of righteousness is life, and in its pathway there is no death. When we talk about things that are life and death decisions that people have to make, what we're saying is they're essential and important. And there are things that cannot be avoided. And so you can't simply say, well, it's a decision I can put off for a while farther down the road. Because if they are life or death decisions, they have immediate impact that needs to be dealt with. It wasn't exactly a life or death decision that I faced not too terribly long ago. But it was something that I had been putting off for a while. There was a grinding noise in the front left quarter of my pickup. And I kind of knew what it was. It was a wheel hub bearing. And I have known vehicles to go for quite a while with wheel hub bearings that really ought to get replaced. And so I let it go. And then it got to be louder. And the pickup was crying out for help. And I wasn't giving the help that it needed. And so finally I said, okay. And so I purchased my wheel hub bearing, and I was going to go and I was going to put it on. I figured this is about a half a day job for me. And then I started taking it apart. And I realized that a very small thing had been ignored when it was done before, not by me. But about 18 months ago, I actually paid somebody to do one of these things. I didn't get my money's worth. Because at the end of the axle shaft, there's this threaded rod that takes a nut. It's not a big nut, but it's an important nut. And apparently, the folks that did this job before didn't put that on. Now, this is a bad thing. I am frankly surprised that it didn't just all blow apart. 18 months. I took it apart and there were no threads left on the end of that axle shaft. There was no nut there. It had just been grinding. Yeah, some of you understand what I'm talking about. But anyway, it turned into far more than a wheel hub bearing, which did need to be replaced because it had been ground up too. But it involved a wheel hub bearing, an axle shaft. It's one of those half shafts that they do now. It needed a new four-wheel drive hub actuator. And even the knuckle that was inside, it had been ground to a point where it wasn't really safe to use again. So what I thought was going to be about a half-day job turned into several days waiting for parts and another opportunity and getting up to my elbows in grease to get it done. But thankfully, it's working. I share that story to tell you that there are some things that need attention. You can put them off, but they still need to be attended to. But life or death decisions can't be put off. The most important decision you will ever make is, what do you do with Jesus Christ and His righteousness and how it impacts your eternal standing? And if I am ever guilty of not saying anything to you about that, then I apologize. But I have tried to make it a hallmark of my ministry to share the gospel, because I believe this is a life or death decision. You don't know the hour that the Lord might call you home. You might think, oh, well, I'm well and good, and I've got lots and lots of years left in me. But you don't know that, because it is a brief thing, this life. The scriptures speak of it as a mist in the morning that the sun burns away. It speaks of it as grass that grows and then withers and dies. And the people who think that they've got a long time are only deluding themselves, because even if they were to live for 100 or so years, that is just a snap of the fingers in terms of your eternal existence. So life or death is wrapped up in our appreciation of the wisdom of God and the person who represents that wisdom, Jesus Christ. Because if you know Christ, you know God. If you know Christ, you know life. There is a hunger for life that everybody has. There's nobody, even folks who want to end their lives, do so with a hunger that they're dissatisfied with how it's going, but they have this sense of, it should be something better than this. There's a hunger. There's a thirst. There's a longing for life. And it is found ultimately only in Jesus Christ. Do not think you can purchase it from a store. Don't think you can inject it from a needle. You can't get it from a doctor's office. You can't get it through a psychologist's help. All of those things might be useful for temporary fixes. But only Jesus Christ brings life. In this hunger for life, we need to recognize that it is more than having a pulse that beats. Genesis 2:7 talks about how everything started out. Then the Lord God formed the man of dust from the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living creature. The source of life has always been God. And to be disconnected from him is always, ultimately, a path toward death. So when the author of Proverbs 12:28 says that in the path of righteousness is life, and in its pathway there is no death, that's an outstanding assertion. That somehow or other, if you can get channeled into the path of righteousness, you can know life that never ends. And to be in that path of righteousness never leads to death. The word death, by the way, if you were to take it from its Greek, means simply separation. To be able not to connect to God. We experience that here in some ways through Memorial Day, which is a time to celebrate those who have given their lives in the service of our country. Which is a thing to be thankful for. My own grandfather served in World War I. He was an ambulance driver. And in going on to the battlefields to get wounded soldiers and bring them to the hospitals where they might be cared for, his team was hit with mustard gas. He had only served in France for 17 days on the field. He was declared 85% disabled for the rest of his life. He spent I don't know how many months in an iron lung in a Chicago hospital to try to keep him going. But it didn't keep him going long enough that he would survive to my birth. So I never knew my grandpa more. I wish I had. But there's a separation there, you see, and it can't be bridged. I can learn a lot about him, but I can never sit down with him. I was never able to have him teach me the things that he might have taught me. Because though he didn't die immediately, it eventually took his life. And it separated him from us as a family. Death is the eternal separation from God. Among all the things that are said about hell, This ought to stand out. That the only place God is not present is there, because he's withdrawn himself from it. I cannot imagine a world that would be so awful, an existence that would be so horrific, simply because the presence of God is absent. You may think from time to time, you may wonder where God is in your life. I'm going to assert with you that he is with you all the time. He is everywhere present in our walk through this world. And as bad as things might become, and sometimes they get to be quite bad, God is always present in it. Life is always present, even in the darkest of days. So to hunger for life means to hunger for something that is more than just keeping your pulse going. It is to hunger for the presence of God in your life. And when the presence of God comes, righteousness comes with him, because he is righteous. There is no one on this planet that is righteous. No, not one, the scriptures tell us. But in him, all righteousness dwells. And if you wish to be admitted into heaven, you need to be made righteous before God. Your sins, though they be as scarlet, can become white as snow. Your sins, though they might cause your physical death, cannot separate you from the love of God when you are in Christ. Oh, brothers and sisters, I understand the hunger for life. But make sure that in your pursuit of it, you know a hunger for Jesus. Because that is where life resides. Because he is the living one. Did you notice as our elder Ray read from the passage that he chose 5:25, and we talked about it, so it wasn't entirely an accident. But there Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming and is now here, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live." Those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself, and he has given him authority to execute judgment, because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming when all who are in tombs will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done good to resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment. You see, there are two ends. Where will you find yourself on the day where Jesus decides? Will you find yourself safe in him? Because you know that Jesus died to save you from himself. Because he holds the judgment. Or will you find yourself outside of Christ and standing before a Lord who says, "Depart from me, for I never knew you"? Don't treat that as a casual moment. This is a life or death decision, what you do with Jesus Christ. Revelation 1 17, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying, Fear not, I am the first and the last and the living one. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and Hades. Are you a follower of Jesus Christ today? Then I say to you with all scriptural certainty, fear not. Because Jesus will lay his hand on your shoulder too, and he will welcome you into his living presence. But if you are not a follower of Jesus Christ, then I do not offer this assertion. You should be afraid. You should be very afraid to face Jesus Christ. It will either be everlasting joy or everlasting conscious punishment. What will you decide about it? For you get to decide. Are you connected or not? The world we live in has this thing called the internet that almost everybody wants to have. And we get a little owly sometimes if for a short while our service goes down. If we stop having connections and you're a subscriber by way of some service like Spectrum, and your connection goes down, all of a sudden you get really animated by that and they get flooded with phone calls and they need to get it back up. And connecting seems to be at that moment all that matters. Even though that's not all that matters. Because whether you have internet connection or not, you can get by. I know that seems unreasonable to say, but you can get by. But you cannot get by if you're not connected to Jesus Christ. You cannot get by if you're not connected to Jesus Christ. And all the people who want to walk through the world as if it doesn't matter, they need to rethink what really matters. Are you connected to Christ? If you are, hallelujah. Hallelujah. What a Savior he is, and what we have to look forward to. If you're not, be afraid, be very afraid, and choose this day whom you will serve. Choose Jesus Christ. What are you giving up? Not to connect to him. You're giving up life. And what are you hanging on to? You're hanging on to death. That's not a hard decision to make, in my judgment. But we do need encouragement along the way. What way will you go? The key metaphors in the Bible about this are summed up in the words path or way. The first followers of Jesus Christ were not called Christians. That came a little bit later. The book of Acts records for us that they were known as followers of the way. They were distinctively known because they had chosen a path to walk. They had chosen a way to live. They had chosen someone to follow. We sometimes speak of this as choosing to follow hard after Christ. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. Keep your eyes on him, because in him is a path of life. Proverbs 14:12 reminds us that there is a way that seems right to man, but in its end is the way of death. So all the people that are trying to tell you there are many roads, there are many truths, there are many courses that you can choose, and it really doesn't matter which one you take. That seems right to man. But the way thereof is the way of death. John 14:6 also charges us when Jesus says to a man, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Oh, brothers and sisters, this is not a matter of just choosing your own course, which you can do. It is a vogue thing now for everybody to say, well, this is my truth. You hear that a lot? Well, okay, you go ahead and choose your truth. You can choose whatever you want to choose, but you cannot choose the consequences of the choice. If you want to choose to reject Jesus Christ, you're free to do so. But you cannot choose the consequences of that choice. Because that's coming like a freight train down the railroad of eternity. People can choose their truth all they want to, but they cannot choose what happens as a result. Jesus did such a great job on the cross. Now, it was to offer, nor was it to offer himself repeatedly, as the high priest enters the holy places every year with blood not its own. For then he would have to suffer repeatedly since the foundation of the world. But as it is, he has appeared once. He has appeared once for all at the end of the ages to put away sin. That's quite a statement. By the sacrifice of himself. And just as it is appointed for man once to die, and after that comes judgment, so Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him. He's coming to get us, folks. I don't know the hour. It's not given to man to know it. But I know that it is going to come. I know that there is a day coming, and it's getting here sooner after time passes. With every day, it's a day closer to happening. I know this will happen, that one day that eastern sky will break open and that trumpet call will blast, and Jesus will come to get us, and he'll raise those who have died in Christ first. And then he'll gather us all together in the air and we'll be with him forever. I know that's going to happen. And I count on it. And I stand on it. And I hope in it. Oh, brothers and sisters, what we have to look forward to. What we have to look forward to. For the Father judges no one, but has given all judgment to the Son. This is why I say, he died to save you from himself. This passage from John 5:22. Whoever does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes in him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. Christian, you're going to live forever with Jesus Christ. Sinner, you're going to live forever without him. And it will be awful. Or for us, it will be glorious. Yes, people can choose their own truth. They can foolishly decide that there are all roads that lead to heaven, when in fact the scriptures are clear this is not true. There is only one name given under heaven by which men must be saved, and that name is Jesus Christ. I chose an example a little bit earlier of internet service and whether you're connected or not. I'm going to continue that for just a little bit here and talk about the networking that goes on in heaven. Now, there's a lot that I don't understand about the internet. At one time, I was a pretty capable computer user. But I can't keep up. I cannot keep up. So I'm just going to plug the wires in where they plug in, and I hope it goes. But I can't do that with my eternal condition. If those stupid little router pod things don't work, it's just frustrating. And oh, it is frustrating. I get it. But if those aren't working, or if you've chosen to go the route of having your phone be your networking source or something else like it, if it's not working, it's just an inconvenience. But if your network for eternity is not working, if you are not linked to Jesus Christ, it is no mere inconvenience. It is life or death to you. Proverbs 14:27 says it this way, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, that one may turn away from the snares of death. The fountain is this network that waters our souls. There is a river, it says, coming out of the new heaven, from underneath and out of the tree of life and the throne of God. And it's a river of life. Come for us. It says it in just a little bit different way, that the teaching of the wise is the fountain of life in Proverbs 13:14, that one may turn away from the snares of death. death has its tentacles out. Death wants to reach into your life with its claws, and it wants to dig in. And it speaks to everyone of every age, but it especially seems to speak to our younger folk. And they hear the words that some of the popular and influential people say. And very often they turn away from the faith that they grew up with in church. They turn away because they go to schools and they hear somebody talk about how evolution is settled science, and they turn away from the Creator that they should have known from their youth. They hear people talk about these religious right-wing bigots that we seem to be presented at as if we're the problem. We are not the problem, at least not all the time. But it is death encroaching into their lives. It is death trying to claw away into the fabric of their souls, rather than to love the righteousness of God and the wisdom of God, and learn the fear of the Lord as the beginning of that wisdom. Because in knowing Him is the knowledge of life. Brothers and sisters, what will you do? Now, I know that in some respects I'm preaching to the choir, because I believe that most of you have made this decision to trust Christ and follow Him. But it is good to remind you of what a good decision that is. But I also know that there are some here, though I don't know who you are, and I'm not looking at your face trying to make a judgment about you, but I know that in a group this size, it is unlikely that there is not someone here who is not a follower of Christ. The Scriptures tell us that today is a good day to be saved. All you need do, just saying what you need to do, I'm not saying all that God has already done ahead of time, because it's amazing what He's already been working. But what you need to do is say yes to Jesus Christ, and that means you need to say, I recognize that I'm a sinner, and that I have fallen far short of the glory of God. And I recognize that if I were to die in my sins, I would go to a Christless eternity. But you need to know that God demonstrates His love for you in this: while you were still sinners, Christ died for you. Christ died for you, sinner, to purchase your right standing before God. And He invites you to confess that truth and believe in Jesus Christ. For by believing, you might have what? Life in His name. I want to pray for those who might not be Christians and give you an opportunity to say these words with me as your own. But afterwards, if you've prayed this prayer with me, would you please seek me out and let me know, so that we can help establish you a bit better in a walk with Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, we all long for life. We yearn for it. We hunger for it. But some are here today who I trust now would recognize and say, I know that I'm a sinner and that I have fallen far short of your glory. And I know that the wages of that sin is death, eternal separation from you. And I don't want that to be my condition. I turn to Jesus Christ who died on the cross for me. And I ask you to forgive me for my sins. I trust you to be true to your word, that we who would ask for forgiveness receive it. And I commit my life to start to learn how to follow Jesus Christ as the source of my life. I give that to you today. Lord, for those who are Christians, I say for them from my own heart, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for what you have done. I didn't deserve being saved. Nothing that I did made life possible. But oh, what Christ has done. I say to you, thank you for saving me. Praise God for being my Savior. Help me too learn from here how to follow you as I long for and I pursue the path of life in the righteousness of Christ. Amen.